you are faithful. But in the time, you promised to hide me. If these will hold their peace, then these rocks will cry out. Jesus. God, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Somebody give God some praise.
Oh, I can't hold it.
I can't hold my praise.
What the Lord has, what he's done for me, yeah. Yeah, come on, say it. I can't hold it. What the Lord has, what he's done for me, yeah.
Should have killed you. He was there. Yeah.
So good. So much. So good. So much. So good. Yes. So much. So good. So much. So good. So much. So good. Yes. Come on, church.
What has he done? Has God been good to anybody in this house? Has God been good to anybody in this house? Come on, does anybody have a shout of praise? Just a little bit of shout. Take a praise break right now. Hey! Woo! Mighty, 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 mighty God. Mighty God, worthy God, holy God. My God, out of all the people in the world, God has laid his hand on you. Out of all the people in Birmingham, you have the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Christy, where are you? Are you in the house right now? I saw Lakin. I saw Lawson. Can you hold that beautiful child up for us to see? Oh, there she is. I know she was here this morning, but I missed it. My wife's a lot more observant than I am. But we're so glad to have Isabella in the house tonight. We love you, Brother Prado. We appreciate the good ministry that flows out of your vessel. Extend your hand toward him right now and pray for him as he comes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. God, we praise you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Give them a great big God bless you. Amen. And you may be seated. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to do something a little different here tonight, and I want to minister a little bit to our visitors and some to the church. So we're going to get started here tonight, but before we do, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless the remainder of this service. Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank you. God, you've brought a lot of people into this house tonight that need to hear your gospel. God, you've brought people here tonight that need to be saved. God, I pray that the waters of your spirit would be stirred, that they would move upon the heart of every visitor under the sound of my voice. I ask you all these things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. I want to talk to you tonight about questions. Questions. Everybody's got questions. There's nothing really wrong with questions. Now, human beings, as far back as we can go, have always had questions. We've had a very long list of questions that we've wanted answers for. Now, these questions can range from the rather comical to the very deep and philosophical. For the sake of tonight's message, I'll start on the funny side of things. There is the ever-looming question of, why can't we tickle ourselves? You can try that when you get home. That's a good question. There's the question of, what came first, the can or the can opener? There is the question of, When will a chicken be able to cross the road without his motives being questioned? Amen. It's a good question. Where's the B battery?
That's a good question.
We got an A battery, an AA battery, a C battery, a D battery. Where's the B battery? That's a good question. Somebody find the B battery. Now, as our society begins to depart further and further from God, there are some questions that we've probably never really thought a lot about. One thing that happens when a society departs from God, or at least the biblical perspective from God, is that animals are elevated to a level really that they don't deserve. And it's kind of intriguing when you stop and you think, what makes us think we're so special anyways? Because when you stop and you think about it, whatever we can do physically, animals do it much better. The slowest deer can outrun any Olympic runner, including Usain Bolt. Most animals, for example, birds, can see better than we can. There's plenty of animals that can even outlive us. Ants, little old ants, can lift three times their own weight and keep on marching like nothing. Questions. What makes us think we're so special? There is other questions that are shaped by culture, by time, and by country. Because we're here in the United States, I'll focus more on questions that we are having to ask ourselves these days. There is the question of what is moral? What is right? Because for a long time here in the United States, we've enjoyed the ability to depend upon government institutions to tell us what's right. But right now, what a lot of government institutions tell us is right is immoral. And a lot of the stuff they tell us is wrong is moral. You can get in more trouble for showing up to school with your Bible than you can a bag of weed. I'm preaching. And we're living in a day and an age where if you're going to be a Christian, at some point or another, you better get your thinking cap on. Because we can no longer depend on social institutions to help us understand what is right and what is wrong. We are going to have to get on our knees. We are going to have to open our Bible. We are going to have to really reflect and ponder upon things and ask ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Now, this really covers the whole strata of life. Your whole life, you gotta work these things out. Let's talk about tigers. Tigers come from India, right? But did you know that there's more tigers in Texas than in India? Texans love tigers, I guess. I don't know. They put them in their apartments. They put them in their backyards. Texans just love tigers. But the fact that you can own a tiger doesn't mean it's a good idea. Some Texans have gotten really good. They take the claws off the tiger. They take the teeth out the tiger. They even got some tigers to the point where they could take it out the cage. But the problem is you can never take a tiger out of its stripes. Its nature will eventually come out. You could take its teeth out. You could take whatever you want off of it. But it's a tiger. And one day it's going to act like a tiger. Y'all ain't hearing me. I'm preaching better than you're responding. I'm telling you, there's stuff in this world that no matter how much you try to modify it, it has a nature to it, and it's going to come out. And you got to be careful what you let in your home. You got to be careful what you listen to. Ladies, you got to be careful what you wear. You got to be careful. Hey, buddies, you got to be careful who you hang out with. You got to be careful.
You got to really start thinking, because there's stuff in this world that it looks so peaceful. It looks so docile, so Gentile. But when you start meddling with it and playing with it, it's got a nature embedded into it, and it'll come out. It'll ruin your family. It'll ruin your home. It'll ruin your money. It'll ruin your mind. It'll ruin your sanity. You can't just be messing around with stuff today. This ain't 1950 or 32. We're living in 2013, and stuff's getting serious. And you need to start asking some real questions. Questions. Here in the United States, we're beginning to ask ourselves, what is marriage? What is marriage? Now, without you asking, I'm going to give you a free history lesson. We don't have to talk about the Bible. We don't have to talk about Adam and Eve. But I assure you that this thing we call human civilization began with a man and a woman. That's anywhere. We're not even talking about black leather bound Thompson chain Bible. We're talking about it's common sense. You can't have a planet full of women. It'd be clean, but it'd blow up in a cat fight. And you sure enough can't have a planet full of men. You need man and woman to populate the planet. I always find it funny when a guy says, "We just had a baby." I'm like, "Bro, you didn't do nothing. What is marriage?" Well, but this is important, because really the question isn't so much what is marriage. The question is, who gets to define what marriage is? I don't believe, you know, you hear the term a lot, traditional marriage. I don't preach traditional marriage. I preach natural marriage. That's right. This is not a tradition. This is something embedded in nature. Now, let's understand something. We know that human civilization had to begin with a man and a woman. Now, historically, whether this is in your Bible, but it's also in any history book you read, the way humans developed was a man and a woman, a family. That family extended itself, and they became known as clans. Then clans became known as tribes. Then tribes became cities. Then cities became nations. Now, the interesting thing is, there's no more clans because the tribes did away with them. There's no more tribes because cities did away with them. And right now, we're living in the period of time in human history where states are getting gobbled up by the nation. And we're trying to determine who should have preeminence, the state or the nation. But here's my point. Not the clan, not the tribe, not the city, not the state, not the nation has the right to determine what a marriage is, because they were all built on the marriage. The marriage came first. And so they don't have the right to determine what it is. That was determined before they were ever around. Questions, 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 questions. Everybody's got questions. Now, if you ask questions, it's actually a sign of intelligence, right? And You could really tell when a child's brain is beginning to develop, because the buzzword is what? Why? How? Why? When? Who? Where? Just, you know. But there's something you got to understand about questions. There's something that everybody has to understand, is that there is an irony to asking questions. And that is, the irony to asking questions is that sometimes you're smart enough to ask a question, but you're not smart enough to find the answer. Now, let me explain this to you. And this is important that you understand. Everything in this room, everything on planet Earth that is not natural, everything man-made, okay, is the result of our limitations. Okay? Because we are limited human beings. Now, the law of nature is this, that like begets like. Things beget after their kind, right? Dogs have. Cats have. Birds have. So things reproduce after their own kind. Now, we are limited. We are limited human beings. There's only so much we can do. But what that means is that everything we create is limited too. Because it's after our own. We're creating it. So if we're limited, it's limited too. Let me give you a good example. Everything in this room, just we'll take this room for example, is the result of our limitations or us trying to compensate for our limitations. This microphone is compensating for the limitations of my voice. But it's limited too because it was made by a limited human being. It sounds great in here, but not out there. Some of y'all wear glasses. It's compensating for the limitations of your vision, but it doesn't help you see through walls. And in some cases, it still doesn't even help you look very far. Because it was made by a limited human being. And so what does that mean? That means this. And you need to understand this. Because right now, there is a voice that is permeating our society that is saying, just hold on, science will figure it out. Just hold on, we'll figure this out. The reality is, we will never have everything figured out. Because we are limited. And so every little computer we make, every little tabulating device, everything we do to try to get more answers is limited too. And so all that ends up happening, as is happening now, we'll answer one question and end up with another question. And so the irony of asking questions is that a lot of times you just end up with more questions. And so what human beings have to do in this life is begin to ask themselves what really matters. Because I can walk around life asking questions all day and end up wasting my life. In fact, there's people here right now that's what you've been doing for the last several months. Some of you have been doing it for the last several years. You're just asking questions and asking questions and asking questions. And the whole time life is passing you by. Your children are growing before your eyes. And you're still wondering why this happened and why that happened. And why is my life this way? And why am I this way? And why is all this happening? And life's just passing you by because you cannot stop asking questions. And even if here's the truth of it all. Even if God descended from heaven right now and answered your question, you'd only have another one. Newsflash. And I said this here last time, but this is good. You will be dead longer than you're alive. Everyone's looking around like, is it okay to laugh? Go ahead, laugh, because it ain't funny. Yeah, you don't get hit by a car, cancer, or whatever. Yeah, maybe 80 years, 90 years, lucky 100. You'll be dead forever. No, this is serious. And the reason this is serious is because if I'm going to spend more time over there than over here, the real question about life is, what must I do to be saved? Everything else, secondary. Maybe not even worth asking, but something I better ask myself is, what must I do to be saved? Because I'm only going to be on planet Earth, if I'm lucky, 80 years, maybe 90 years, maybe less. Some of us might only have another year left. So we better ask ourselves right now, what must I do to be saved? And I'm not just preaching to the visitor. I'm preaching to the saint. Saint of God, if you live for God any amount of time, you're going to have to start asking yourself, what must I do to be saved? I had to ask myself that this morning, and chances are I'll have to ask myself that tomorrow morning, because I want to be saved. A lot of people, what should I do? 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 How should I live my life? Let me tell you something. The question is not, what should I do? The question is, what kind of person do I want to be? Listen, I know people. I teach Bible studies. I get out there. I do my thing. I mingle for Jesus. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I teach Bible studies and have conversations with people from the higher scales of education to street thugs. And there's always somebody, some smart aleck, who gets caught up on something that ain't in the Bible. Right? You'll have somebody, you know, like the Bible doesn't talk about marsupials. You know? Nowhere in Genesis are koala bears mentioned. And I know people that want to know where all the koala bears are. And I'm thinking to myself, bro, you hooked on crack. What do you care about koala bears? I know, no, you think I'm joking. There's people that make serious decisions whether or not to get involved with Jesus over really dumb stuff like that. Like, where are all the koala bears? And they're about to get divorced. Their children are hooked on heroin. They're losing all their money, their house. They're suicidal. And they want to know where the koala bears are. I got news for you. That ain't the question you need to be asking. The question you need to be asking is, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? There's people here. I'm preaching. I'm not going to preach long. I'm preaching good. There's people here right now. I'm telling you, the question that ought to be burning in your mind right now is, what must I do to be saved? I'm at the pit. I'm at the bottom. I can't go any lower. I have to know what I must do to be saved. I have to know what strings I got to cut. I have to know which way I need to turn. I have to know what church I need to be in. I need to know whether this is my night or not. I need to know whether it's God that brought me here or not. I need to know whether I should marry this man or not. I need to Jesus, I need to know, what must I do to be saved? We need to worship God here for just 1 second. Jesus. In the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and I don't have time to go into the story, but in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, Paul and Silas find a man who's about to commit suicide. He's about to cut his own throat. Paul and Silas stop him, and they say these exact words, "Do thyself no harm." The man turns around, and he asks the most important question he could when he's suicidal. He's at the bottom of life. Everything's tanked out. He asks the right question. He looks at Paul and Silas. He says, "Brethren, what must I do to be saved? Tell me, before I cut my wrist, before I cut my throat, before I end my life, let me know. I got to get out of this. I've been living my life however I've wanted, but I'm realizing right now that this is all that really matters. This is all that really matters. The kids can wait. The marriage can wait. The job can wait. The finances can wait. I got to be saved." Here's the beautiful part about the Bible. If you want to know what you must do to be saved, the Bible leaves nothing to the imagination. The Bible may not talk to you about koala bears, but it will tell you in explicit detail how to get to heaven. The Bible may not talk to you about why your grandma died, why your wife walked out on you, why your child did this, did that. The Bible may not address any of those issues, but I promise you, if you want to know how to get your sins forgiven, the Bible will tell you exactly how to have your sins forgiven. I promise you, it leaves nothing out. It's all there. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Verse for verse, line for line. What must I do to be saved? Number one, you must repent. You've got to repent. Why? Why? Why do I have to repent? I've been hurt. Life's done me wrong. Listen, everybody's messed up. Everybody. Victims have messed up. Abusers have messed up. Everybody messes up. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody comes short of the glory of God. Everybody must pony up and tell God at some point, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Jesus said, Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, "Lest you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He didn't say, I'll zap you. He didn't say, I'll crack hell wide open. He said, you will perish. And implicit in that is saying, you'll destroy yourself. You'll take yourself out. You will perish. You don't understand. If you don't repent of the way you are, you will destroy you. Because in case nobody's told you, there ain't a devil in hell that can hurt you like you can hurt you. There ain't an ex-husband that can hurt you like you can hurt you. There's not an abuser, a molester that can destroy you like you can destroy yourself. There's not an ex-boss that can destroy you like you can destroy yourself. There's not a sickness nor a disease on planet Earth that can wipe out the human race quicker than the human race can wipe itself out. I'm telling you, we are the thing that needs to get fixed. We are the thing that needs to repent. We are the thing that needs to tell God, change me, change. Come on, somebody, help me preach right now. This might seem random. I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to you right now. There's people here, you keep telling yourself, I'm going to stop smoking. I got news for you. They're gonna put a hole in your throat and you'll still be wanting another cigarette. You ain't gonna stop. I'm preaching really good right now. You ain't gonna stop. There is no NAAA. None of that will kick that out of your life. You're gonna have to, I'm telling you, you're gonna have to get connected to Jesus Christ and have him loose you. Have him loose. Have him loose you of that junk. Hey, listen, you come too late. I've been in church long enough. I've seen people walk to the altar with tar-stained fingers from smoking cigarettes for years. I've seen them come, Pastor Sutton, with their fingers full of cigarette residue all over their nails, all over their fingers, 13, 14, 20, 25, 40 years smokers. Amen. And all of us tried it all, N-A, A-A, you name it. And they come to an altar of repentance. They lift up their hands and they say, Jesus, I may have a pack of cigarettes in my pocket, but I want this out of my heart, and in just a matter of seconds. I'm telling you, repentance can do for you what no program can do for you. I know. I didn't mean to. I thought I was right today. I was calling y'all abundant life. It's new life. And that's what we came to offer you tonight, a new life, a new life, a new life, not a patch, amen, not a fixer, amen, a whole new deal, a whole new deal. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, he is a new creature. God will totally change you from your head to your feet. He will take evil desires out. He'll take vices out. He'll take wickedness out. He'll take addictions out. Come on, we need to worship God right now. God's trying to get through to somebody right now. I'm preaching to a man right now. I'm preaching to a man right now. If I had to, I could call you out the crowd. I'm telling you right now, there's a man in here. Just days ago, your children started noticing that you're drinking. Your children just started noticing, Daddy, why do you do that? It changes your behavior. You scare me, Daddy. I don't like the way you treat Mommy when you do that. And I'm telling you right now, man, God wants to pull that spirit out of you. God wants to release you from the dependency of that thing. He doesn't want to give you an alternative. He wants to give you a whole new life. And if there's ever been a time you need to pray, it's in this service, and ask God, what must I do to be saved? Let me tell you something about repentance. It is your friend. It is your friend. Whenever this church has, listen, every service has a theme. If you've not picked up on that yet, wake up. Every service has a theme. And whenever the Spirit of God moves in this place with the theme of repentance, whenever the songs are leading to repentance, the preaching is leading to repentance, the testimonies are leading to repentance, you start feeling like crying in the middle of the offering, you can feel you need to respond to that, because repentance is a precious gift from God. It's not something you run from. It's not something you hold back on. It's something you run to. It's something you welcome. Repentance will change reality. You start repenting, God will make your enemies your friends. You start repenting, he'll take you from divorce court, amen, to renewing your vows. You start repenting, you'll go from a drug addict to a preacher. You start repenting, you'll go from a sinner to a saint. You start repenting. I'll never forget, I was taking Hebrew classes with a friend of mine, a young Jewish boy. And he told me, he said, he wasn't Christian, he was Jewish. He said, Ari, why, he was teaching me Hebrew. He said, why do you want to learn Hebrew? I said, well, you know, I told him my story. I said, God, I'll tell you my story right now. I was hooked on drugs. I was suicidal. I had been done wrong through life. Yeah, join the club. Been robbed, stole, you name it. Did a lot of it myself too. One day on Father's Day, I'll never forget, I came home from a party. I was depressed. I was suicidal. And I was mad that my dad was not in my life. You know, there's nothing worse than your dad being gone, because it's like you didn't do anything. You didn't run him off. And that hurts. I'm just being real with you. There, my dad is alive, but there was years, whole years where he didn't even call me. And I used to ask myself, I don't know if it's better that he just stayed out of my life than to be in my life and negligent. I don't know if I would have preferred just not knowing him than knowing him and him not being there. Oh, you came to the wrong service tonight if you think I'm a patty cake with Jesus for you. I'm going to be real. And I was mad. I thought, this is not fair. I didn't ask to be born, number one. I didn't ask to be born into this family, number two. And I didn't even do anything. That's fine if you don't love my mom. You can walk out on her, but not me. What did I do? Oh, and then he had other kids. Fine. But what about my birthday? What about, I'm still your son. I'm preaching good. I'll never forget, I was mad. I came home hot. And the weird thing about being mad is you hurt yourself. You start piercing yourself, drugging yourself, drinking yourself. It's weird. You would think, now there's people here right now, my God, there's people here right now, you're actually damaging other people's property and other people. But I'm telling you, I'm reaching for you today. There's a young man in here, you're starting to do violent stuff, and God wants to pull you out of that. But I'm telling you right now, you've got to get to the point where you're open enough to accept whatever God tells you. And you're open enough to accept the fact that God might call you to repent. Four in the morning, I came home mad, hot, wanting to break stuff on Father's Day. In years, I had not cried. Years, I had not cried. For the first time in my life, I started crying. Piercings, tattoos, goatee, drug dealer. I was a mess. Started sobbing. I went to sleep that night. All of a sudden, at 4 a.m, I heard a voice begin to talk to me. I didn't even believe in God. I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't want to go to church. None of that. I heard a voice begin to talk to me, and it said one word 3 times. And you know what it said? Repent,
repent, repent. It didn't tell me I love you. It didn't tell me everything's going to be okay. It went right to the source of the problem. It went right to my heart, and it said, you got to repent before I can do anything else. You got to repent or you're going to self-destruct. You got to repent or you're going to blow up. You got to repent or you're going to kill yourself. You got to turn from yourself, because right now you are your worst. I jumped out of bed. I didn't even know what the word repent meant. But brother, let me tell you, that morning I knew what it felt like. I started sobbing. I started going down the laundry list. God, I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry for that.
Let me tell you what repentance means. I'm talking to my Hebrew teacher. He tells me, Ari, why are you so interested in this? And I told him the story I just told you. He said, repentance is beautiful, Ari. He said, let me tell you about repentance. He said, in Hebrew, the word for repentance is teshuvah, and it literally comes from two words, and it means to turn around. To turn around. To turn around, to return even. And he told me this. He said, Ari, he said, repentance is a miracle. He said, because he goes, what a lot of human beings don't realize is that your sins affect reality. You know, a lot of people think, you know, you ever hear somebody say, it's my life. You ignorant. You double ignorant. It's not your life. And your problems and your sins and your mistakes and your errors. Listen, I'm trying to get to you. I want to pull you out the hole. You got to realize the stuff you do, it doesn't just stay like in you. It mushrooms. It starts leaking out. It gets on the kids. And then the kids take it to school. And they put it on other kids. And then your sin, it don't just stay on you. It gets on your money. And your wife's asking you, what's wrong with the money? You make all this money. We can't even pay the bills. What's wrong? And it's not that there's not enough money. It's that you ain't right. And when you ain't right, God will start poking holes in your bag. You can make a great job, have a great job. All the numbers add up, but God won't let nothing happen because you need to repent. It's not even a money issue. It's a spiritual issue. I'm preaching better than you're responding. I'm telling you right now, there's people here under the sound of my voice. The minute you repent, your money will turn around. The minute you tell God, I'm sorry for how I've been living, all of a sudden you'll have more than enough to pay the bills. All of a sudden you'll start socking away stuff in the savings account. It ain't the money. It ain't the money. It's your life. It's your lifestyle. Your sin has gotten out from your heart and from your spirit, and it's gotten into your bank account. I'm telling you what, and it ain't going to stop there. It's going to get on your health. It's going to get on your kidneys and on your liver and on your lungs and on your heart. It'll get on your friendships. It becomes systemic. It spreads. It's cancerous. And he said, Ari, the miracle of repentance is that when you repent, that changes reality too. And everything a man thought he can never reverse, God begins to reverse. The Bible says that if a man's ways please the Lord, he shall make him to be at peace even with his enemies. I'm telling you, when you repent, all of a sudden you'll be able to say like David, man, thou preparest a table before me at the presence of my enemies. I'm eating dinner with people that used to hate my guts. God's really fixed me. I'm telling you, when you begin to repent, all of a sudden stuff you could never fix will start getting fixed. That wife who's left you just a couple of days ago, she'll come back home. Once you start repenting, kids. The kids used to be scared of you. Now they'll be crawling all over you, hugging you, calling you mommy and daddy again. I'm telling you, repentance changes reality. You repent, you'll get a job. Yeah, it's that easy. Repent, you'll get a job. I know that sounds real simplistic to some people. I'm telling you right now, God just works like that. The minute I repented, everything that was wrong, my money, my health, my unemployment, everything that was wrong, it just began going right. You got to repent. Let me tell you something. Some people are wondering, well, what's repentance? Let me tell you something about repentance. It is not, God, I'm sorry until I do it again. Repentance is a turning. It's a turning. You can repent right now with junk in your car, junk in your pockets, junk on your phone, you could tell God, I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. God ain't some mean old man in a solar powered wheelchair looking to knock people upside the head. You know, he loves you. If you could just see in the spirit, he's actually rooting for you. He's actually on your side. It's you that's on the wrong side. You gotta turn it around. You gotta turn it around. You gotta tell God, you know what? I'm on the wrong team, scoring for the wrong team, shooting for the wrong team, running for the wrong team. I want to be on the J team. I want to be on the Jesus team. God, I want to... God, I'm turning. Cigarettes in my pocket, I'm turning. 20-sack of weed in my pocket, I'm turning. God, I'm turning. Hitting my wife, never hit her again. I'm turning. God, I'm turning right now. Hooked on pornography, I'm turning right now. Hooked on dope, I'm turning right now. I'm lying, cheating, stealing, cussing, gambling. I'm turning right now. Sleeping with three women at once, I'm turning right now. Turning right now. God, I'm bitter, I'm angry, I hate everybody, but I'm turning right now. Do you feel what I feel right now? I feel a spirit of turning. You can turn. Jesus. You want to know something amazing? You'll never hear this preached at a women's conference. Fact. There's only one proverb. One. That's actually directed to women. Proverbs 31 is telling a man how to find a wife. It's not telling a wife what to be. There's only one proverb that actually addresses a woman. And you know what it says? It says a foolish woman tears her own house down with her own hands. And what it's saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but what it's saying is this. If a woman is not careful, all her emotions, all her feelings, all her resentments. You know what the word resent means? It comes from two words, which literally means to re-feel. You think about that argument you and Jim had and you just feel it. You re-feel it. Over and over and over. And the Bible says, you are a perfect candidate, lady, to tear down your own house. I don't normally preach this. I'll preach this. Everything's got to have an expiration date on it, people. Even anger. The Bible gives you an expiration date for anger. It says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I'm preaching to women right now. I'm not a misogynist. I don't hate women. I'm not here to pick on women. I love women. My mom's one. My wife's one. My daughter's one. Thank God. But let me tell you something about angry women. Adulterers find them a mile away. Lesbians find them a mile away. Oh, I know you're thinking, oh man, this guy's bigoted and narrow-minded. No. You got the wrong preacher. I'm telling you, you don't let stuff go? Man, I feel like hitting the pause button here. Well, you know what? I'm going to put it in park right here for a minute. You don't put that anger away. Do you realize that there are men that specifically target bitter women? Because they know she's mad at her husband. He ain't hugging her. He ain't loving her. They used to be soulmates. Now they're just roommates. She's easy. Lesbians will start targeting you. Listen, I grew up in San Francisco. When I was in the world, I had plenty of friends that were gay. I had one friend, she was a lesbian, and she was gorgeous. You wouldn't even know it. She was a cheerleader for a football team. She was beautiful. All the group of girls we hung out with were beautiful. But I remember when she became a lesbian, she began targeting all the girls. One by one, she began pulling them out. And you know which ones she targeted first? The ones that were coming out of bad relationships. That wanted nothing to do with men. I'm preaching a lot better than you want to admit. You be all bitter, and all of a sudden that lady at your job will just start. No, I know, there's giggles. I'm all up in somebody's mail right now. And it's not to pester you. It's not to annoy you. And it's not to humiliate you. It's to help you. It's to help you. You go down that road, you'll hate yourself. You go down, listen, just so you know, I'm not a bigot. Just so you know, I'm not some narrow-minded fool. Let me tell you something. I grew up, my house, my mom worked for the AIDS Foundation for years. Every night at 7 o'clock, our phone would be turned into the AIDS Foundation hotline. We'd get phone calls from all over the country of people dying from AIDS. Listen, I've grown up in a diverse household. I had friends that lived that lifestyle. I'm telling you right now, I've sat down in rooms with these people, had very detailed talks with them, and they've told me, they've pulled me aside, and they've told me personally, I'm not happy with the decisions I've made. I'm not happy doing this. I'm not happy living the way I'm living. I want out of this. What must I do to get out of this? How do I get free from this? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now. I'm preaching to some ladies right now. You got to bury that thing before it buries you. You got to get over it. If he don't repent, you got to repent. If your husband don't turn, you got to turn. It don't matter. You got to save your soul. Come on. It's not just, oh, Jesus. I'm preaching to a woman right now. You've been fighting with your husband, and now you be driving down the street, and all of a sudden men start staring at you, and you're thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing to attract this? I didn't even brush my hair or my teeth this morning. Hey, you hear chubby good. The devil loves a clean house. He ain't out for old crackhead on the corner. He's got him. He's looking for good, decent, moral, clean people. That's who he wants to defile. Jesus said it best. He said when an unclean spirit leaves the house, he said it comes back. With seven spirits worse than itself. And it comes back to a house that's been cleaned and garnished. The devil ain't looking for dirty houses. He's looking for clean houses. He's not looking for nasty little kids that disobey their parents. He's looking for you. That's who he's looking for. You got to be careful. The devil will use your pride as leverage against you. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Right? There's pretty people and there's ugly people. I won't tell you which one you are. You know. Right? You know. You know. You know. Now, you know, some people are not thinking, this guy, he is outrageous. I can't, you know what? I'm getting on somebody's nerves, and I'm glad I'm getting on your nerves. You know what? I could tell you who you are. You're sick of me. You know what? I don't care if you're sick of me. You got to get over that attitude. You got to start accepting stuff that ain't your way. You got to start accepting thoughts that don't align with your thoughts. At some point or another, you got to realize that if you're going to ever be a full recipient of the grace of God, it's going to mean God and chubby Mexican preachers getting on your last nerve, because you got to get to the point where it ain't about you. It ain't your way, it's God's way. And if God gets on your nerves, then go ahead, God, get on my nerves. And if God drives me crazy, then go ahead, God, get.
Do your thing, Jesus, but I want to be saved.
Now we know there's pretty people, ugly people, because the Bible calls certain people pretty.
Yeah.
It says they were pretty. Bible says Rachel was beautiful, right? Was it Rachel or Rebecca? And her sister Leah was fair-eyed. I don't know what that is. I don't want to be that. Whatever that is, don't be that. No. Why is he preaching this? Why is he saying this? Because adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, sexual promiscuity, the defiling of your body has nothing to do with looks. Girl, you may not be all that, but just the fact that you're clean, all of a sudden the cutest guy in school will have a crush on you. Sister, you don't look like you used to look 20 years ago. But God will send men your way. It won't be funny tomorrow. And he'll use your pride. See, if the devil can't knock you down, he'll lift you up. Because it's the same result anyways. First, he'll slap you. He'll let people dog you. He'll let your husband forget your anniversary and your birthday. He'll let your husband just never listen, blah, 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 blah. But if that doesn't take you out of the marriage, then he'll just lift you up, and he'll have some gorgeous Greek god start winking at you. And it all starts with this inability to forgive and to release. You know, I know there's people laughing, but there's others of you ain't laughing because you're up in the middle of this right now. It's happening. All of a sudden, your manager at the job, in spite of the picture of your husband and your kids right there on the desk, he's asking you what you're doing later on tonight. He's hitting on you, and you're thinking, my God, I'm mad at my husband. I feel like walking out, and now this. I'm preaching to a lady right now. You've been having a lady coming over your house recently, and she's starting to talk to you in funny ways and hitting on you, and you're starting to feel weird. And she's putting bugs in your ear, and she's saying things to you, and your thinking is changing. Because you know what we don't realize is that the words that go into our ears, they change us. They shape us. They affect us. Listen. Greatest commandment in all the Bible, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our God is one. In Hebrew it reads, Shema, Shema Israel, Elohim Adonai, Eloheinu Echad. Echad in Hebrew means one. But the Jews do not call Deuteronomy 6:4 the great Echad, the great one. They call it the great Shema, which means hear. The commandment is not that there is one God. The commandment is listen. Because if you listen, you won't believe in more than one God. And if you listen, you won't go after strange things. And if you listen, you'll do the right thing. And if you listen, you'll make right. You go read your Bible. The Bible makes a bigger deal about your ears than it does about your eyes. You got to be careful what you listen to. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of what you listen to. There's times you got to be careful who starts talking to you when you fighting with your husband. You got to be careful who starts talking to you when you bitter and upset. You got to be careful. There's some people you ought to not answer the phone. Because you know there's some people right after you done fighting with your husband, they'll call. Been out of her marriage for 30 years. Oh yeah, and she goes to church too. You need to go ahead, disconnect her, text her, let her know you need to cut this out, girlfriend. I'm staying with my husband, and you need to pray for one, and you need to get out of my business. Get out of, I love you, I'll be praying for you, but I ain't got time for this. You always calling at the wrong time. You always call. Hey, let me back off. Because I'm about to get ugly. What must I do to be saved? You got to get baptized. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to go in that water. We'll baptize you tonight. You got to do it. I'm telling you, if you've never done it, you don't know what you're missing. It's wonderful. It's great. It's awesome. It's exciting. Your sins will be washed away. There's nothing, nothing that compares to being baptized. Absolutely nothing. Hey, real talk. You know what? I was hooked on drugs for a long time. I sold dope. No joke. I was hooked on drugs, sold drugs, did all kinds of stuff. It took me months to get the Holy Ghost, and that's a whole other message. It took me a long time to get the Holy Ghost, but they were able to trick me into getting baptized. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I came to church. I ate the cookies, as you can tell. Yeah, I hung out for the food, and plus, y'all wouldn't leave me alone. I told myself week after week, I'm never going back, never going back. I'd party hard on Saturday to make sure Sunday morning I could not hear the phone ring when the guy who drove the van was calling me to pick me up. I'd party hard. No matter how hard I partied, didn't matter if I came home at 7 in the morning. I'm telling you, come 9 o'clock, my eyes open up. And I tell myself as I'm getting dressed, I ain't going back to that church again. Hello, I'll be out in a second. Telling myself, I ain't going, I ain't going. I'd sit in the back. I'm not going to the front. There I'd go. It's getting good tonight. I was tired a minute ago. Hey, they finally told me, and I know, it's late. I know, it's late. I'm sorry. No, I know, that's like 5 people. Preach. Sleepy folks ain't saying nothing. But this ain't for the sleepy folks anyways. So just go ahead and sleep. And they told me, they said, you got to get baptized. And I was like, well, you know, it's messy. There's like water involved. And I thought, you know, at first I thought Catholic baptism. I'm like, all right, go ahead, sprinkle me, you know. But they were like, no, we're going to take you in the water. And I thought, you know what? That's too much. Pass me the cookies. It's all right. You know, anyways. Pass the cookies. I'm going to get in trouble. Come on, y'all. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. I'm having a good time. You falling asleep. I'm having a good time. I know you got to go wash clothes and get ready for tomorrow. I'll let you go. I won't keep you. Anyways, I try to get real slick on the church, you know. I said, well, all right, I'll get baptized, but how about Tuesday at 12? See, you don't know us. We'll declare it a national holiday for you. We will take time off work for you. See, I made the mistake of thinking y'all was one of those churches where they do it once a year out in the beach and, you know, everybody's laughing. No, no, no. My pastor's like, great, I'll take the time off work. I'll go pick you up. And I was thinking about changing it to 12 a.m. But so they did. They came for me. They picked me up, and I thought, man, these people, I got to go now. And I did. I went. I submitted myself. You hear Chubby really good. Every day, we do all kinds of stuff based on the authority of someone else regarding facts that we can't even validate. I love water. H2O. But I never stop and check for the one part hydrogen, two part oxygen before I drink it. I don't even know that it's in there. I'm not checking for my one H, my two O's. But it's in there. I'll go look up on Wikipedia how high Mount Everest is. I did this just the other day. I think it's like 60,000 feet. And I'm like, okay with that. I don't go check it. The truth is, there's a million and one things in your life you cannot validate. The truth is, you are hardwired. The Bible says every man has a measure of faith. The truth is, there's a plethora of things you do every day that you take on faith. And it's only when people come to a church that they become incredulous. Only in church right now do I have to buck up against your spirit that says, well, I don't know. I don't know if that'll really work. Why don't you just try hearing me out and accepting that what I'm telling you is true? It is fact. It will work. It will help. It will change you. You don't need a 6-month Bible study before you get into this. You can get into this right now. You can find happiness right now. You can find joy and peace and comfort right now. You can have your sins forgiven right now. 30 years gone, 20 years gone, 10 years gone, 5 years gone, the worst year of your life gone. The Bible says some men's sins go before them, other men's sins go after them. Listen, you want your sins to go before you. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins go before God right now. While you're still here alive on earth, your sins go stand before Jesus. And Jesus says, it is forgiven. It is forgiven. It is forgiven. But if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name, honey, let me tell you, you're going to go before the great white throne. You're going to see Jesus eyeball to eyeball. And you're going to look behind you and all your life's going to come creeping. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to repent. You need to get baptized. And you need to get the Holy Ghost. You've got to get the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Bible calls the Holy Ghost in Greek? The paraclete, which means one that stands alongside of. Para, parallel, parable, para. Anything para means alongside. Right down, it stands with you. But paraclete also means, it means advocate or lawyer. When I was real young, I had this thing for writing on people's property. And you'd think I wouldn't put my name, but I'd put like my name. So I got caught. Right? And so me and my ignorant self ended up in jail. And I went to court, and my mom knew my little chubby Mexican son is going to jail. They throw Mexicans in jail. He's going to jail. Now, you know, they offered me a public attorney, but public attorney is just another word for you going to jail. Yeah, that's just code for you going in. I'm sorry, if you're a public attorney, I don't care. You need to stop that. You need the Holy Ghost. My mom said, you ain't getting no public attorney. My mom, she's a hardworking woman. She cleans houses. She's a good woman. She went, she gathered up all her money. She went and got a lawyer up in San Francisco, big 20-story. I remember going to the guy's office. I mean, it was plush, leather couch, you know, just, it was, the guy had, yeah, whatever, you know. He just had a lot of clients and money, and she went and got me a lawyer. I had one job, be quiet. I'm telling you, I went before the judge, the lawyer. My lawyer just reminded me, be quiet. He got up and he just started rattling off all kinds of stuff at the judge. Just whoop, 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 whoop. I didn't know what he was saying, but I was going home to get beat by my mom, but I was going home. You need a lawyer in your life. You need an advocate. You need somebody that'll stand between you and the accuser. And I got news for you. Jesus just ain't the lawyer. He's the judge. So he can... He'll work on your behalf and he'll forgive your sins, but you got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to get the paraclete. You got to get filled. I'm telling you, you need to wake up and get your act together if you haven't noticed that there's a nasty voice in your head telling you you're a loser, you're good for nothing, you're going down, you're going to die, I'm going to take you out. That's the voice of the devil. You need another voice in your head that'll stand in between you and the devil and say, no, you won't. No, you won't. He's mine. I'm Alpha. I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of his faith. I will determine when he goes down. I will determine when he dies. I will. Jesus. I'm finishing. I'll have you in your car with the heater on by 9:10. Nine or ten. When you get the Holy Ghost, now here, you know, everybody's funny until I start talking about this. When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues.
That's right.
Do you know why we're all here tonight? You want to know? Because I speak English. If I got up here and started preaching in Swahili, y'all would leave. Because language, okay, you know, if I started preaching in Spanish, half of y'all would leave. How's that? My point is this, language makes us a part of something. I'm Mexican, right? There's so much of my culture that's embedded in my language. And it identifies me. You know what identifies a Latino? Not tortillas, because only Mexicans eat them. I've been to Argentina. They don't eat tortillas. They eat pizza and gnocchis. We got some Mexicans here that make gnocchis. Amen? Look at that. And make pizza. But the thing that makes us all Latinos is that we speak Spanish. Our language makes us one. From Mexico to Argentina, we're one. The only way you get into God's culture, the only way you get into God's, the Bible says you are citizens. God has a kingdom. It has citizens. It has borders. He is the king. It has a language. The Bible calls it the tongue of men and of angels. The only way you get into this kingdom is you will speak in another tongue, as the Bible says, not as I say. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says will happen. You will speak. Pastor Son, I've been to enough places in this world. I can walk into a service where I don't know what they're saying. I don't even know the language they're speaking. But when I hear them speak in tongues, I feel right at home. This is my brother. I don't even care if he speaks French, Creole. I feel right at home. I don't care if they speak Spanish, Swahili. I feel right at home. I don't care if it's Portuguese, Japanese. I feel right at home. And it's not because of our native tongue. It's because of the celestial tongue. It's because of that tongue that... Acts chapter 1 lets us know that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, got the Holy Ghost. Hey, let me tell you something. It was a miracle when Mary gave birth to Jesus, but it was a greater miracle when Jesus gave birth to Mary in Acts chapter 2. Mary got the Holy Ghost. Peter got the Holy Ghost. Paul got the Holy Ghost. Mark got the Holy Ghost. Matthew got the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. When you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. Not Spanish, not... You will speak in another language. God will do it. And anybody can get it. Anybody. Anybody, everybody. The Holy, listen. Last sentence of the night. Last sentence. It's 9 o'clock. Last sentence. You know, we have people come up, you know, they're sick, and we pray. But I don't always know if somebody's going to get healed. I just don't know. I believe it, right? But whatever, you just don't know. You just don't know. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. It's the everybody miracle. It's the thing that everybody can get. Like, bro, if you broke your arm and came up for prayer, like, I don't know if you're going to get, you know, your arm fixed. But if you come up looking for the Holy Ghost, I know that you can get it. It's the everybody miracle. If you're about to lose your house and you come up for prayer, I don't know if you're going to keep it. But you come up looking for Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost, I know you're going to get it. It's the everybody miracle. Okay, last sentence. Stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. God told me to be quiet. I don't want sad music. I'm sorry. That sounded rude. I'm not trying to be. Love is not rude. If that was rude, I'm sorry right now. You have to forgive me. I don't even want medium music. No medium. We're going to sing happy music. I don't even want schmedium. I want fast, happy, excited. Nobody's dying.